And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
We'll consider how far a rebuild will take the Mariners in 2021.
Like death and taxes, Dodgers get a Dodger.
I have not had the three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Monday, February 8th. I'm Al Melchior, and I am here with Derek Van Riper and DVR. I'm really intrigued by this Mariners team here, especially the prospects, a number of whom I'm hoping will come up this year, but we'll get to find out because we've also got Corey Brock with us here from The Athletic. Corey, thank you so much for joining the show and helping us size up this Mariners team.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been too long, guys.
It has. Well, before we get to some of the intriguing questions about the rotation and some of the prospects, let's talk about at least a couple of the veterans in the lineup. Mitch Haniger, we haven't seen much of him the last couple of years, but he would seem to be good to go for the start of 2021. Is there any reason we should be concerned about Haniger from a health perspective?
I don't think so. I think, you know, he's been healthy for a while. He said the other day on a Zoom call that his swing feels great. You know, I in terms of how they're going to probably maybe bring him along a little slower in spring training, but I don't think that's a red flag. I think, you know, once the lights come on and we're in the regular season, he'll be the everyday right fielder. I do think they'll run him out there as DH once in a while to get him off his feet, but yeah, you know, I don't know if we'll ever see the 2018 Mitch Haniger, the 6-plus WAR player again, but it's in there. You know, he did show that. So really interested to see what he does this year, and certainly he'll give that offense a boost when he returns.
And also Dylan Moore is somebody I think who's probably creating some uncertainty in fantasy circles because I don't think anybody really saw his 2020 season coming. What do you think the chances are of something close to a repeat of that season in 2021?
You know, that's the funny thing, right? And I'm sure you guys have kicked this around a lot. Like, you know, how much it seems like, you know, we talk about this 60 game sample size and how much of it can you really believe? But you know, he's been a nice little player for them for a while, but certainly took a leap forward last year. You know, he's a guy they can move around the infield, the outfield. But he did some things offensively last year that really opened some eyes in the organization. If you look at his batted ball profile, the exit velocity, he killed the ball. I mean, he drove the ball hard. And I think what's happened now is he's played himself into first consideration to be their everyday second baseman. And if that doesn't work out for some reason, he's still a nice piece for the roster because he can play some left field. Again, he could bounce around a little bit. But, you know, if you guys remember way back, I don't know if this was 18, I think maybe his first start at third base. Remember, he made three errors on three consecutive plays in a game. And, you know, from a, you know, auspicious beginning, he's made himself into a nice little player. And that's a nice find for the Mariners. So I think they're curious to see how real some of the stuff they saw in 2020 is over a longer period of time.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the camp of skeptics when it comes to Dylan Moore. I don't think he's a bad player, but I think he played at a level in the shortened season that he's going to have a very difficult time sustaining over a full 162. But his defensive versatility certainly helps his bid to stay in the lineup throughout the year. Corey, there was a big surprise in the rotation last year. Marco Gonzalez turned in ace-type results. Now, I don't know if he's ever going to be a guy that's going to strike a ton of batters out, but he heads up a rotation that does have a decent number of question marks aside from his own performance. Yusei Kikuchi, the peripherals look good. The results were bad. You know, Justice Sheffield still trying to find his way. What do you make of the top three starters in particular? Do you see value in Yusei Kikuchi maybe taking a step forward given some of the hints that we saw in 2020 from him?
Yeah, and I think that was a big question going into last year. And as you mentioned, I'm not sure anybody's talking about Marco Gonzalez's performance enough from 2020, you know, in 11 starts. I think he finished with 7 walks allowed. And like, that just doesn't happen anymore. And I think that was nearly 60 innings. So he's solid there at the top of the rotation. Kikuchi's an interesting one. You know, I give him a free pass that first year because, you know, you're coming to America. You know, there's a lot of things thrown at you. He became a dad for the first time. His own father passed away. You know, I just sort of gave him a little bit of a pass. Certainly the home run was a big bugaboo for him. But, you know, I think anyone that looks at his ERA last year is really doing themselves a disservice because, as you mentioned, you know, below the waterline there were some strides that he's made. And I think the Mariners feel pretty good about where he is going into 2021 and understanding that he understands who he is a little bit better and is maybe a little bit more situated. And then, you know, Justin Sheffield, I just wrote about him the other day. I thought he had a fabulous rookie year, probably merited a rookie of the year vote on the back end or something. But, you know, he was, you know, I think he benefited a lot from watching Marco Gonzalez. They're kind of similar, right? You know, they're not very big left-handers. I think Sheffield's traded some of that velocity for location and he's, you know, kind of figuring it out. I think he's going to be fine, but yeah, the rotation bears watching. They're going to go with the 6-man rotation again. So it'll be interesting the names they settle on.
As far as the other names that are contenders, is there anyone that really stands out to you as someone that might be an interesting late round option for fantasy players? Because Chris Flexen comes back after a year in the KBO. Justin Dunn had some prospect appeal once, and LJ Newsom is one of those guys that he's all command, but at a certain point that can get you pretty far if you're used correctly. And if even he takes a small step forward with his stuff, I mean, do you like any of those guys vying for spots in the back of this rotation?
I really don't know what to make of Flexen. You know, he's coming from the KBO, so he's been used to pitching on this in a 6-man rotation. So I think that'll fit him pretty nicely. Threw a lot of curveballs over there. I'm curious to see how that plays here. Justin Dunn is an interesting one for me, guys. You know, aside from command issues and some walks, if you go through his game log, it's pretty good. I think he's got a real chance to step forward. And then I'm sure you're going to ask me about this guy later on, but we're going to see Logan Gilbert at some point in 2021. So if there's an opportunity to grab him late and stash him, boy, I tell you what, they think the world of him. And this is a guy that, you know, despite no minor league season last year, actually made some pretty big gains, added a nasty changeup at the alternate site. So I think, you know, and a former first round guy. So there's some real pedigree here. So I think he's a name to watch.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure.
Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Before we get to prospects, I want to ask you about the bullpen. The Mariners hooked up with the Rangers and acquired Rafael Montero. I think we're all kind of operating in the fantasy community under the assumption that Montero is at least the closer to begin the season. Do you see the Mariners sticking with him? Do you see him being a primary source of saves throughout the year in Seattle?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, their biggest issue going into the offseason that they wanted to address, and I think they have by and large, and, you know, they could still add, I suppose, they wanted to shore up their bullpen. It was kind of a mess last year. They had the third highest bullpen ERA in baseball. And so, you know, they got Montero, they got Keenan Middleton, they signed from the Angels, and then they brought back Kendall Graveman, who really saw some interesting results in terms of, you know, spike in velocity, and, you know, he throws that that sinker that induces a lot of weak contact. But yeah, I think as we sit here today, I would say Montero is easily the odds-on favorite to close games for the Mariners. They like his stuff a lot. You know, pretty interesting note. All three of these guys had Tommy John surgery in 2018. And certainly knowing that everybody is kind of on their own course in terms of rehab and rehabilitation, and maybe when stuff comes back and you see a spike in velo, I think the Mariners are counting on these three guys now being a little bit more closer to either what they were before TJ or maybe even better. So, you know, three guys there at the back end are pretty interesting. But for me, Montero's the closer.
All right, Craig, well, let's get back to Logan Gilbert here. So I certainly would be happy to grab him in the later rounds if he's available. But is he somebody who you think that if the season did start on time, maybe would be up by May? Or are we looking maybe more of a mid-season expectation of a call-up?
Well, this is where I have to whisper service time manipulation, because that's a real thing in today's game. And I think and this applies too to Jared Kelnick, the talented young outfielder, who could probably stand to have some more minor league at bats. But in terms of Gilbert, you know, I think he could have pitched in the big leagues last year. I think we'll see him maybe by May or so. And when he comes up, you know, he's going to have a spot and they're going to let him go because they feel like his stuff can play. He could get big league hitters out, just very polished. The command is really good, low walk rate, a lot of punches. And then again, adding the changeup last summer in Tacoma at their alternate camp, picked up on it quickly. You know, for some guys, it takes them forever. Some guys can't even harness that thing, but he found it pretty quickly and used it quite a bit. So, I think he could be a real sleeper late for somebody.
What's your expectation, Kelnick versus Gilbert? Who will actually make the biggest impact this year of the two?
Oh, well, that's a good one. I think I would say, you know, if they're going six-man rotation, I think, you know, and I don't know how many starts potentially that would even mean for Gilbert, but I think there's maybe a slightly higher chance for him to have immediate success just because he's a little bit further along in his development curve. And and Kelnick, he's in really a real interesting one for me. I think that he's going to be a very good big league player. And, I thought about this last year. I even wrote about it, thinking that, hey, you know, with the expanded playoffs, the Mariners were kind of just hanging around, right? You know, like nobody was really pulling away from things in September, early September. And I thought, you know, should they bring this guy up? Should they bring him up? And, you know, he's going to help the offense some. But really, if you think that he's going to be a major piece for your big league lineup in 2021, why not let him get his feet wet in basically what is a no risk environment, right? There's no fans sitting out in left field peppering him with insults. You know, he could get his at bats. He could learn about the big leagues, the travel and all that. But again, I don't write the checks. So I think we'll see him probably in May as well.
All right. Well, I guess we just got to let 2020 go and look forward to him playing this year. And maybe I'm pressing my luck here, but any chance we see Julio Rodriguez sometime this year?
You know, I get asked that a lot. And, you know, my first inclination is hell no. Right. You know, this guy is still so young. He finished the 2019 season in Advanced A, Modesto, did really well there in a short sample size, but like, you know, he needs a full season of minor league at bats. I would hate to place limitations on him because he seems to be surpassing those wherever he goes. Every time I see him, he looks bigger. His hands are huge. And if you guys have ever heard him speak or seen anything, he's got the most infectious personality of any guy in their system. He's a lot of fun. He loves baseball. His time is coming. I will say this. If you see him in the big leagues in 2021, man, he must have done something incredible during the minor leagues to merit that, because I just don't see where it would be prudent for the Mariners to do that. But again, if he's going to determine his own timetable, right? And if he pushes things and he excels, like I said, I wouldn't rule anything out with him, but I would say it's unlikely.
All right, Corey. Well, little bit of a wet blanket there. But on the other hand, if, you know, there's rumors he might come up, then I'll certainly tuck away what you were saying about him forcing his own timetable. So that's great stuff. But that's going to be all the time that we have for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. If you're listening to this podcast on a platform that lets you leave a rating and review, we would greatly appreciate it if you take the time to do that. And Corey Brock, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us here on Fantasy Baseball in 15. Really appreciate all the knowledge and information, and best of luck to you this season.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, our pleasure. So for Corey Brock and for Derek Van Riper, I'm Al Melchior, and we will be right back here on Tuesday.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.